No doubt, no doubt. Your question this morning, and this is a good question, and I congratulate you for asking it, is Martin, how are we finding a link? How are we finding harmony between Romans chapter 2 in a letter of Paul to the nations, expounding upon the transcendent grace of God? How do we find a link between that and Revelation chapter 20? It's this, because Paul is Mr. Universal. Paul is Mr. All Humanity. Paul doesn't mess with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. No, he goes beyond. He goes back to the root of the problem. He goes back to Adam. Did you ever notice that? Yeah, the circumcision writers, they're all about Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You know, and that's their patriarch, Abraham. But that doesn't solve the problem, does it? This is why Israel is all its surface fix. Israel is a band-aid. Israel is, let's reform these people. But Paul's gospel is not about reform. You're not going to take the entire human race and reform it. You can reform Israel, and because of this, God gave outside laws, things that come from without to within. Here's the law, here's you, do this. And so it's called a new birth. A new birth is cool, but it's not radical. I'm into radical, and Paul is radical. And first, in fact, the first title of my book, The First Idiot in Heaven, was God's Radical. To describe Paul, because he takes the issue of sin and death, and he goes all the way back to Adam, and he deals with the root of the issue, with humanity. So this is what we're seeing finally now in Revelation chapter 20. We're seeing all humanity being dealt with in a judgment type way, not just Israel. And again, I told you, hard to believe, but there are people who think that there are only Israelites being judged at the great white throne. Can you believe it? Only Israelites. I'm like, what? Seriously, no, all the dead, the small and the great. How do you get only Israel out of that? So this is humanity finally coming to the place that Paul really prophesies of. Paul's not only an apostle, but he's a prophet. Do not rob Paul of his office of prophet. And he's prophesying here where we left off yesterday in Romans chapter 2. He talks about, oh, human, you are reckoning this, you are reckoning on this. Oh, human, Paul says. And the first two chapters of Romans are dedicated to silence every mouth. Paul has to shut everybody up before he can give the evangel. Oh, I got to tell you this. The new birth of Israel, I said it wasn't that radical. No, it's like a reformation of the human race. I, Martin Zender, am not a reformer. I am a radical. I'm not a reformer. Martin Luther was a reformer. I'm not out of that mold. I'm of a radical. I'm trying to think of somebody in that mold right now, but I can't. The idea of radical is you can't fix it. You can't reform it. It's wholly incorrigible. It cannot be fixed. I'm thinking of criminals. When a criminal is so bad that we can't redeem that person, then the state will set out the death penalty, and you just rid society of this person. God himself instituted the death penalty in Israel. There were so sins that were so bad, so infecting, that they weren't allowed in the camp, and those who did such sins were killed, and it was sanctioned, okay, by God. And the states today, I don't know what you believe about it, but some states sanction the death penalty. But this applies to the truth here, that Paul gives humanity the death penalty. And he says, you can't fix this. So he goes deeper than Israel, deeper than a patchwork, deeper than a patch for one nation. Even the kingdom, it's sort of like a patch. It's a patch fix. Instead of changing the bicycle tire, you just patch the leak. You fix it. You get it so you're up and running again, and there you are. Israel's up and running in 1,000 years. But how is this fixed to the human race? It obviously doesn't, because we still have nations on the four corners who are rebellious and who will march against God at the first opportunity. So the Israel message does not fix humanity. It patches up one nation. It's good, but it's not as good as it gets. It's not as good as it's going to get, because Paul is Mr. Take it to the limit. Paul is Mr. Pull up the weed by the root, and that root is Adam. And only Paul takes us back to Adam. Only Paul says, O human. The Israelites are talking to themselves. Read James. I know people who just, oh, they're so thrilled about the book of James. It's one of the lowest spiritual level books in the entire scripture. I'm not saying it's not inspired. I'm just saying James is writing, read chapter 4, verse 1, to adulterers and adulteresses. He's writing to the sinners of his own nation, trying to straighten them out. Peter writes to the beloved in Israel. Peter writes to the dispersion. And who's the dispersion? Those Israelites who went abroad. Not Paul. Oh, human, Paul says. And then Paul says in Romans 5, as in Adam all are dying, thus also in Christ shall all be vivified. Question, how do all who have died in Adam become vivified in Christ? There must be some intervening event that will bring this all humanity into the eventual vivification. There is. That intervening event is the great white throne. That's how important this is. That's why, to answer the question I posed at the beginning of this show, we find truth. An insight, a backstage pass into the great white throne of Revelation 20 here in Romans chapter 2, where Paul is considering the attitudes of the human race. So here he goes. Yet you are reckoning on this, O human, who are judging those committing such things, that is, the humans who would judge constantly and never turn around the light and shine it on themselves. You're imagining that you will be escaping the judgment of God? Rhetorical question. Or are you despising the riches of his kindness, and they are, and his forbearance, and his patience, being ignorant of the kindness of God, that the kindness of God is leading you to repentance? Yet in accord with your hardness and unrepentant heart, you are hoarding for yourselves. Every single word here, is so rich. I could go on and on about every single word here. They're hoarding for themselves. Indignation, hoarding it. That this means that it's all deferred. It's all delayed. We're hoarding for ourselves blessings. All our blessings are just piling up. I'm telling you, in the next life, in our future world, our future eon, we're not getting it now. I mean, we get tiny little blessings to keep us going, to keep us from hanging ourselves in the garage. But it's being hoarded up. Likewise, the indignation of God is being hoarded up. Should I say, the people committing sins in this world, the people who disregard God, who hate his truth, hate his people, they're hoarding up for themselves indignation. And yet this indignation will be productive indignation. The indignation is exercised by one sitting on a throne. Yes. And he's relaxed. If I had to try to imitate God on the throne, you can't see me very well. I would lean back like this. I'd put my hands down here. I'd be laid back. I would be leaned back. If I'm going to be sitting, I want to go all the way with it. I'd have my left hand resting gently on the arm of my throne. I would have my right hand grabbing my microphone. No doubt God will have a Blue Yeti microphone into which he will proclaim his pronouncements. Case number 652/A. Something like that. But it won't be a scary voice like the Wizard of Oz. No. Don't worry, Judy. Judy Garland's going to be there. As far as I know, she was not a believer. But there are different degrees of unbelievers. There are different degrees of human beings. Because I compared to you the embryo, the small child who was never born, to a 50-year-old man who has, for his whole life, perhaps led a career of sin. And so how is it that these two types of individuals can be judged? How can Judy Garland be standing there next to the Wicked Witch of the West? Do you understand that? As far as I can tell from watching The Wizard of Oz over 24 times, I cannot discern that either the Wicked Witch of the West or Dorothy was a believer. The Cowardly Lion, certainly not. What are you talking about? And you were not a believer, sorry. I'll tell you limb from limb. Save it. And so they will both be standing next to each other at the Great White Throne. Obviously, the Wicked Witch of the West has hoarded up much more indignation than Dorothy. Dorothy was a sweet little girl from Kansas who simply found herself in difficult circumstances. Sweet girl, though. Wicked Witch of the West threw a fireball at the Scarecrow. Tried to rust the Tin Man. That's not nice. Not nice woman. So the judgment will be adjusted. And we're going to look at that when I get back to the Revelation 20 text. The judgment is adjusted because God knows intimately each case. And he considers everything. No one will be able to say, God, it wasn't my fault. God, you're the one that made me this way. The Wicked Witch of the West will say, you put me in a bad family. Come on. And God will acknowledge all of this. And yet, in the hearts, it's in the heart, it's the heart of the Wicked Witch of the West is going to be judged. And Paul says that here, in accord with your unrepentant heart. This is important because the heart is the feelings and the sensations, the depths of a person's, this is very abstract, the heart. It's what a person feels and thinks, their innermost intuition about things. And most people, every person is unconscious of the control of God upon them. God controls everything on this earth, but by his wisdom, that control is not felt by the individual. And so the individual acts in accord with their own unrepentant heart. We're just stating the facts here. Some hearts are unrepentant, and God judges people according to the heart. I'll put it this way. I've been all over the place, but listen, this is my paraphrase. The heart is according to what you thought was happening, according to how you perceived things. And the Wicked Witch of the West and Pharaoh and Adolf Hitler, they all perceived things a certain way. The king of Assyria also, many great personages in the scripture. Pharaoh will be standing there. And it was according to the heart, according to what they thought was happening, according to how they perceived things. And they were unaware to the max of the influence of God upon their lives. They didn't recognize God, not even close. And so it is according to this that they will be judged, not according to the sovereignty of God. God can't judge anyone in accord with his sovereignty because he made everyone how they are. Read Romans 9, the clay. God fashioned some clay into vessels of dishonor, Wicked Witch of the West, some into vessels of honor, Dorothy over here. And the vessels of honor have a different judgment. They serve a different purpose, even the unbelieving ones. Because both of these people are, Dorothy and the Wicked Witch of the West, are unbelievers. And so they will have to be judged by not different standards. The standard will be the same, in accord with the heart, in accord with the intentions of the heart, in accord with the actions. What did you do? What did you do? They're each judged in accord with their acts. Going to get into detail that when I go back to Revelation chapter 20. It's what you did. Faith has nothing to do with judgment at the great white throne because no one was faithful. Dorothy wasn't in the Wicked Witch of the West. Neither one had faith, but they each did things. They did things. Dorothy oiled the Tin Man. Saved his life there. He was frozen in place. She wiped the tears away from the Cowardly Lion. She restuffed the Scarecrow with the straw that had emitted from him after his extraordinary dance in the cornfield. These are Dorothy's acts. The Wicked Witch of the West, let's review. She threw a fireball at the Scarecrow. She tried to put them all to sleep in her poppy field. She stole Toto. She sent the flying monkeys to carry Dorothy to her evil castle. She put a timer, an hourglass that would count down in excruciating suspense the minutes of Dorothy's life. She teased her by showing her Auntie M in the crystal ball. I mean, we could go on and on and on. And all these things will be taken care of. All these things will be adjusted, and there will be, let's finish this to finish out the day here. Let's finish this passage. In accord with your hardness and unrepentant heart, you are hoarding for yourself indignation in the day of indignation. When's the day of indignation? That's a great white throne. And revelation of the just judgment of God who will be paying each one. This is the dead, the small, and the great. Each. The dead, the small, and the great. In accord with his slash or her ex. This is a really, the more I'm reading this, the more it astounds me how parallel this is. Each will be judged in accord with his acts. And I go back to Revelation chapter 20. And they were judged each in accord with their acts. That's Revelation 20:13. The sea gives up the dead in it. Death and the unseen give up the dead in them. And they were judged each in accord with their acts. That's Revelation 20:13. And here we have Romans 2, chapter verse 5. Yet in accord with your hardness and your unrepentant heart, you are hoarding for yourself indignation, just judgment of God, who will be paying each in accord with their acts. To those indeed, and here's what we're going to pick up tomorrow, I'm back in Romans chapter 2, to those indeed who by endurance in good acts are seeking glory and honor and incorruption, seeking it, not necessarily finding it, God is going to repay those individuals with life aeonian. Yet, to those of stubbornness, well, that is another story, isn't it? We're going to pick up with that tomorrow, but I love how God is so careful about the minute details and actions and even the heart, even the intentions of people. Maybe the Wicked Witch of the West intended to do more to the Scarecrow. I can't imagine how, but then that intention will come up at the Great White Throne, even though you didn't execute your evil intention. She wanted to kill Dorothy. She will be convicted for killing Dorothy. The intention of the heart counts. She only lacked opportunity. Dorothy escaped because her friends hijacked the guards, and delivered Dorothy and Toto from the clutches of the Wicked Witch of the West. But she intended to. Likewise, I'll say this to you to comfort you. You intend to do many things. Back to us again at the dais of Christ, and you can't affect your intention in every instance. Many times you can't, but the intentions of the heart, I believe Paul said in the passage we talked about last week, will be exposed, and you will be rewarded for good intentions. People say good intentions pave the way to hell, or the way to hell is paved with good intentions. Like, they don't count, but they do with God. Our intentions are there. Perhaps we just lack opportunity, just as the wicked lack opportunity to affect their evil intentions. All this comes out. Can you imagine the delightful chaos at the Great White Throne with all these many, many individuals there coming before God? Look, it's going to be magnificent. It's going to be glory. It's full of glory. It's going to be tough. It's going to be sweet. It's going to be kind. There's going to be so many things going on. It's going to fill the universe with wonder and awe as everyone looks on. And as I told you, we're going to have a part of this judgment. We will be a part of it because we will have the mind of Christ in full, not in part, as we do now. And yet today, as I told you, we do not come into judgment because Christ Jesus took our sins upon him on the cross, and he has given us the amazing realization of this now in the wicked day. Our hearts have been made soft because of this, and we have no one to thank, nothing to thank, except the grace of our good God.